This is Talk To Me. Your host, Joshua Toomey, bring you epic rants, anecdotes, and interviews with heavy hitters from hardcore
A New Life Begins!
To hair metal. This is Talk To Me.
What is up, congregation? Welcome into Talk To Me, episode 236. The guest this week is Cody of Wage War. Their new album, Pressure, has been out for a little bit. It's a fantastic album. We will be checking out a track off that after the interview with Cody of Wage War, where we talk about recording with Jeremy McKinnon, their upcoming European tour with Dead, their barbecue-style meet-and-greets. And Cody now lives in Nashville, so you guys know that I grew up in Nashville, so we talk all kinds of good stuff about Nashville and all that. Couple of quick notes before we get into the interview. This will be the last episode of Talk To Me for the year. I will throw out a best of 2019 episode. If I get any interviews in the next week or so, I will throw those up as just solo interviews. But as for an episode with music and my nonsense here at the beginning, this will be the last episode of Talk To Me for 2019. I hope everyone has happy holidays, Merry Christmas, all that good stuff. And thanks for everybody for checking out the show this year. It's been fantastic, you know, seeing all the numbers rising and getting all the t-shirt orders out and things like that. So thanks so much to everyone who's listened, rated, reviewed, shared with a friend, ordered a shirt and all that great stuff. And like we said in the last episode, if you order a t-shirt through the month of December, $25 free shipping, and $5 of that will go to a local animal shelter for some donations for the puppers and all that stuff. So $25 free shipping, just reach out to me, talktometalk@gmail.com. And just a huge thank you to Scott Bowling once again for having me and Bobby Burns on the Good Company podcast, episode one. That got picked up, and the rumors out there now that we might be doing some shows in 2020 with Primer 55. We keep, Bobby and I are in constant contact about that, getting all that together. So as soon as I know something, I will let you know some dates, some venues, cities, all that good stuff. And it should be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. See how it all pans out for 2020. Nothing crazy, no major touring, but we'll definitely do some shows, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And thanks to the PRP for putting that out there and getting that initial feedback, which was actually quite positive as the internet can be, you know, when it comes to something like that. You still get a lot of who, what, huh? You get a lot of that, but I think for the most part, fans of the band are excited to see the band, so that'll be a lot of fun to get out and play for those people, and to all the people that don't care, just don't come. It's all that simple. It's as simple as that. Make sure you're checking out merchlive.com, all of the t-shirt bundles, things like that, and we've got a great promo code over there, TOME10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. Yes, TOME10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. If you're doing some last-minute Christmas shopping, make sure to grab some Five Finger Death Punch, Megadeth, Metallica, Anthrax, Slayer, so many great bands. If you like the show, if you like the bands on here, I'm sure Merch Live has some t-shirts and some other merch over there from your favorite bands. So once again, TOME10 at checkout, TOMEY10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. And you can always find us, facebook.com/talktometalk. That's the Facebook page. The Facebook group is the Talk To Me congregation. Ask to join. We will let you in. Have a lot of fun. Share some fun stuff over there. Some rants, some banter, some lists, all that good stuff. And if I get these episodes done early, I tend to put them up early so you can get a sneak peek at an upcoming episode that's not even out yet for the general public. So it's always fun. So make sure you're subscribing to the Talk To Me congregation over there on Facebook. Twitter is at Talk To Me Talk. And then if you want to email the show, it's talktometalk@gmail.com. So once again, thank you guys for checking out the show each and every week. 2019 has been fantastic for the show. So let's check out a classic by Wage War. This is Johnny Cash. Let's talk to Cody of Wage War. Check out a track off the new album, and then I will be back with you momentarily.
Let me tell you the saddest story. Lost, left, broken, and empty. Put my heart in the hands of another. Set a fire to the past and watch me.
We've got Cody from Wage of War on the line, man. The new album Pressure came out over the summer, and man, it's a banger, man. I love it.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. Yeah, we're really excited about it, and it was a not fun little wait, but to finally have it out feels amazing, man. So we're really fired up about it.
I want to dive into the recording of the album. The one thing that I kept reading was, you know, you guys went to LA to do the album. And one thing that I always noticed about, you know, going to New York City or LA or something, there's just a vibe and an aura about the city, or like New Orleans, a place like that. It's just a very cool place to do something like that, man. And it looks like that kind of bled over into you guys recording.
Yeah, man. We did our last two records we did in Florida.
Yeah.
And you know, we love those records. We're very fond of those records, and it was cool to, you know, be there. But I mean, that was basically like us being at home, because we could go home every night after the studio. And for this record, knowing that we needed to do something, not completely change what we've done, but knowing that we needed to grow, not only as you know, creatives or as a band, but you know, as like people and whatnot, we decided to kind of just make ourselves a little uncomfortable and trap ourselves in an environment where we can just kind of be solely focused on the project that we're doing. And that's exactly what it was. And just like you said, like, LA is such a inspiring place. I probably wouldn't want to live there, but I certainly don't mind going and visiting or, you know, like doing records there or whatever. But it's just such a cool place to walk around, and there's always shows going on. So we would like go hit a show and then come back and just be like, man, I want to write a song right now. Like, crazy stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, it was really cool being out there, and also just kind of having time where the five of us got to just hang out, you know, after the workday was done. It was just, you know, it was just us five in a house together. And it really hasn't been like that in quite a while, because when we tour, we have, you know, crew with us or whatever. So just to just be like us original five together was a really special thing. And we had a lot of times as like best friends, I guess. So
did you have those moments where, you know, did you have anybody taking you around the city saying like, this is where this happened, or that's where that happened, or this was the house that such and such lived in? Do you have anything like that?
I'm not sure we necessarily did that. You know, we obviously did all the LA type things as far as like the Walk of Fame, and, you know, just kind of cruised around, because where we recorded was pretty close to Sunset Boulevard. So we kind of just roamed around there, and you know, Amoeba Records and all that stuff. So I don't think we necessarily got a grand tour, but you know, just being there in general was sick.
Did you have the you know, that movie moment where you went and sat, you know, at the top of a mountain and overlooked LA, like, how did I make it here kind of stuff?
I mean, yeah, kind of. I mean, just going to, you know, that going to LA to make a record just sounds like what my 14-year-old dreams were made of, you know what I mean? It's
right.
Just like, so I definitely, like, I mean, I remember a lot of like firsts for our band, like the first time that we like boarded a plane for Wage War. Like, that was such a cool moment for me. It was just like, we're flying because of the band. It was like such a cool. And then overseas and then touring and then moving into buses, or, you know, like it's been a bunch of bucket list stuff along the way. But doing the LA thing was definitely a big one for sure. Like, as we would just kind of talk to people and just be like, man, like, we're really out of here.
Was there a venue in Florida that you know, kind of grew up going to, that like the first time you headlined it, that was a moment? Like, that always seems like the first moment for a lot of people, like the place you go, you know, growing up, and then all of a sudden you're headlining it, and that's an amazing feat.
Dude, that moment happened literally a month ago. So we grew up going to House of Blues Orlando.
Yep.
And we headlined and sold it out on this past tour. That was our first time ever playing the venue, and also I think it was like our first Orlando club date that we had ever played as well. For some reason, every tour we have done has not hit Orlando. I mean, we've played on like festivals and Warped Tours and stuff like that, but to actually be in like a club venue, like, we've just never done it. So, I mean, playing there enough was special. And then when we found out it sold out, it was just,
wow.
It was very, very emotional night. I definitely cried on stage in the microphone. I was trying to talk and like tell everybody that I was very appreciative that they were there. And then I like saw my parents in the second story, and like my dad was the one that took me to all those shows. So I just like was like, oh, was just lost it, dude. But yeah, that was You know, we're still just buzzing off that show, man. It was great. But yeah, that was the big one for sure.
On this, on the latest album, you went back to for Jeremy McKinnon to do the, you know, production, his little team there and stuff. You know, is it just a comfort thing to kind of go back to him?
So on the record, Jeremy really only worked on a song called Low.
Okay.
Because we did Low with Andrew and Jeremy, and then Mark Lewis mixed the first version of that, and then just for continuity for the record, we had Drew remix it just so they all sound somewhat cohesive. But yeah, I mean, that we didn't, you know, Jeremy is busy with, you know, all of his own stuff, and I think now that they're talking about it, you know, he's wrapped up in a Data Remembers new record and stuff, so the timing didn't really work out, but you know, whenever we reached out for, you know, help or whatever, like, he definitely was able to lend a helping hand and give a couple notes. But yeah, Low is the only song I think that he actually produced with us. But yeah.
Well, where did the production team for this album come from then? We'll go from there.
Yeah, so a guy named Drew Folk produced this record. And, you know, the way that whole thing kind of started, we knew that we were probably going to change up a little bit just because, you know, we wanted to do something different and something maybe a little bit uncomfortable. So I've been kind of following Drew and his work for the past, I don't know, 2 years or so. And the thing that I always found out about Drew is that he always puts out like my favorite record of whatever band it might be.
Yeah.
And he's got credits in a whole bunch of other worlds other than just metal. He's got pop credits. He's got, you know, other like active rock credits. He's, you know, country, like hip hop. He's just got so many different things that he does. And that was really cool for me because I didn't want to just go to somebody that was going to be, you know, the metal guy. Because, you know, we obviously know how to do metal. It's what we've been doing for our whole lives. So we wanted to just, you know, somebody who could push us, but help us keep it, you know, help keep it in our arena of things that we do, but also push us. And I feel like he was really good quality control over, like, yeah, you guys can, you know, we can make this work, or let's make this song a little bit more wage war, if you will. So yeah, it was Drew engineered, mixed, and mastered it. So he is kind of the one man deal.
Another huge thing that's going on right now is, you know, you guys are about to go to Europe with Dead and Thornhill, and the first date of the tour is already sold out, and it looks like, judging by the things on social media, it looks like a lot of the dates are close to sold out, man. That's an insane feat there to have sellout shows in Europe already before you've even gotten over there for this tour.
Yeah, man. It's there's quite a few. I think Bristol, the first one, like you said, that's already sold out. And then I think there are probably like six or seven others that are really close. But yeah, dude, it's crazy, man. We went over to Europe this past summer to do Slam Dunk, which is like kind of the UK Warp Tour kind of. They're not affiliated, but that's right, how I would describe it to somebody. And we did five headlining shows over there, and we sold out all of them before we even boarded the plane, which is crazy. So it's just cool to see, you know, all the hard work paying off. We've been over to Europe, I think, five times supporting. We supported a band called Cold Rain. We supported A Mice and Men. We supported Amity Affliction. We supported August Burns Red. That was four. So we've been over there four times supporting. So to be able to have our own legs over there has been a really cool thing. So, yeah, man, we're just thankful that, you know, we get the opportunity to do this kind of thing. And, you know, I mean, I feel like I say this a lot, but when people, you know, we'll talk about like the success we've had as a band, like, We're very thankful, and it just, like, at the end of the day, in all of our heads, it's like, this band was like never supposed to get this far, and it's just kind of been a take every step as it comes, and we're just excited to be here, and we feel lucky to have the chance to do it. So it's great, man. It's all good things.
Was Europe an area that you definitely wanted to kind of conquer at that time? Because I know that not a lot of bands focus on Europe as much as they should. And it seems like if you've been there four times, this will be your fifth. That's obviously somebody saying that, you know, Europe is a priority.
Yeah. I mean, I think in terms of business for being a band, like, I'm sure all American bands would only ever want to tour the United States because, you know, it's much more cost effective. You know, you don't have to rent anything. You don't have to buy flights to get over there. And going over to Europe, especially the first few times, it's like, it seems pointless because there's a 90, 8% chance you're going to lose money when you go over there.
Right.
So it's kind of an investment thing. And, you know, the team that we have has just kind of really pushed us to not abandon that market. Because, you know, financial stability for a band is definitely a worldwide thing. So, I mean, we try to go over there at least once or twice a year and just kind of keep that building up. And,
obviously it's paying off.
Yeah, it seems to be paying off, and it can be a bummer. Like, I'm not a big fan of flying, so I don't really love, you know, 7-9 hour flights. You know, you don't speak the same language as everybody, and you have to rent some sort of transportation. And we've done everything from bucket seat sprinters to really nice buses, and, you know, just it's, you know, and it's all great, but it's definitely not what I would call a comfortable situation most of the times. It's just kind of a, obviously the shows are great and we love to meet the people that, you know, support our music, but, it can be a drag sometimes for sure.
The one thing that I've noticed too is everyone I've talked to about Wage War, you know, the albums are great, but everyone talks about the live show and how, you know, you guys are standouts at the festivals, and anytime you come through, you know, it's definitely a draw. So is the live show something that you guys focused on early on, or is that just kind of come natural?
I would say a mixture of both. Like, we obviously want to be the best band that we're capable of being live, so we're very rehearsed and we're very practiced. But I think the point of going to a Wage War show is just to have a good time. Like, I don't think our band is necessarily the band that kids come to because they want to, like, beat their friends up. Like, we have, you know, we definitely have, like, heavy, hard songs, and, like, you know, there's time for all that. But we also have songs that are, you know, slower and sing-alongs and whatnot. And really what we've been trying to accomplish, especially on this last tour, is making, you know, a Wage War show more of an experience than just a show, and kind of, you know, have dynamics to it. And, you know, like, okay, cool, we're going to hit you hard here. We're going to bring it down here and sing along, and then we're going to bring it back up, and then we're really going to bring it down, and, like, you know, just kind of make something that people walk away from and feel like they actually got a show and not just watched a band play for an hour. You know what I mean? So, I think we're definitely focused on making sure that, you know, Wage War shows are fun. And I also think that, you know, at least half of that is the crowd. And, you know, we have a, we're very lucky to have an incredible fan base that just likes to go in at showtime. So whether it's jumping up and down, or whether it's a mosh part, or whether it's a sing-along, like, it just, the crowd is really what makes the show great, at least for us. And, you know, it's kind of a feeding thing where it's like, okay, well, they're into it, so now we're into it. And then, you know, it just kind of keeps, we just, like, build each other up, I guess.
Nice. Well, this is actually where I can insert a listener question. I do have a listener question that was, whose idea was the barbecue party style meet and greets? Will you do it again? And was it a success?
Yeah. We had a great time. I think it was very successful. I think we sold out all of them, which was cool. You know, we're Florida boys. We're some good old boys at heart. And, you know, just kind of what we do is just kind of hang out and tailgate, whether it's football games or just hangouts. Like, we've always got cornhole and stuff. And we just thought, you know, we wanted to do something unique and something that was fun. And, you know, there's just, you know, it already feels weird. Like, we had never done a VIP before. So it already kind of feels weird to start doing VIPs because, you know yourself, you're just like, well, this is weird. Like, you know, people are, like, paying to hang out, but, you know, we wanted to make it something more than just like, okay, cool, here's your picture, here's your, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
We wanted to make it an experience. So it was a full hour every day where, you know, they would come in, we'd do the picture, we'd play two acoustic songs. And then literally for 45 minutes, it was just us hanging out with, the 20, I think we capped it at 20, just the 20 people that came. And that was a small enough number where we got to have, one-on-one time with everybody. So it was just cool because it was more of like an exclusive thing. Whereas, like, if it was open season to everybody, like, we would never get to actually talk to people.
Right.
And, you know, it would just be like rampant and crazy. So we tried to make it worth it for everybody to come and just, you know, get time to hang out. And we said, like, you know, hey, we're just going to hang out for this next 45 minutes. We're going to play cornhole. And basically, like, our time is yours. So if you want anything signed, you want pictures, you want to just talk, like, it's, you know, open season. So Yeah, we had a blast with it, and we're doing a version of that in the UK, I believe. I don't think we're bringing cornhole boards, but I don't know if we necessarily are doing. We're gonna try to spend as much time as we can with the people that spent the money, but yeah, I mean, it was super fun, and some days it felt like it was, you know, exhausting, but by the time we got through every day, we're just like, man, I'm so glad we're doing this. Like, it's so cool to hang out with people. So yeah, I mean, it was great.
Yeah, I think the evolution of the meet and greet has definitely, you know, gone towards the positive, especially in a situation like that, or, you know, even like a Hatebreed meet and greet where you get a, you know, a picture and a poster and a t-shirt, and, you know, you get a bunch of stuff not along with meeting the band too. I think that, you know, early on during the meet and greets, when they first started popping up, they were definitely frowned upon. But I think a lot of fans are now just, you know, if they have the expendable cash to do it, you know, why not?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, we even talked to kids that were like, yeah, we paid $200 just to, like, take a picture with somebody. And I was like, wow, yeah, that's, I think our meet and greet was like $45 or something.
Wow, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, we definitely want to try to keep it on the personal side, because we're not rock stars. We don't have egos, nothing like that. We're just dudes that get to play music and, you know, lucky enough to have people that support it. So.
And I think a lot of the fans too understand that, you know, the meet and greet cash that you guys make from that definitely help the touring and help those ends meet, you know, when it comes to the day-to-day stuff with the tour.
Yeah, absolutely, man. This was without a doubt the most though the most successful, also the most expensive tour we've ever done, just between you know, lights and production. First time we'd ever done that. We had a full crew out with us with lighting and sound guy, tour manager, merch, like, you know, I mean, we always try to keep things down to necessity. We're not a band that likes to spend money if we don't have to. But yeah, there was a lot of expenses on this tour, but that definitely helped, you know, bring the tour out in a positive manner. So
you said earlier that you tailgated football games. What are your teams?
Well, I'm more of a hockey guy than a football game. Okay. Than a football guy. But I think I can speak for the rest of the band. I mean, I think we're Gators fans, at heart, for college football, at least. For pro football, we have, I know Chris, who plays bass in our band, is a big Dolphins fan.
Nice.
Britton, our singer, is a Colts fan. So I think that's about where we,
I think we talked. I think we talked about this last time. Aren't you a Preds fan? Nashville Predators fan?
Yep. Sure. Yeah. I am, yeah.
Okay. That's. I was like, wait a minute. We've had this conversation before.
Yeah. So my roommate and I have this thing. It's called the Boys.
Yeah.
And the first Boys are Tampa Bay. Second Boys are the Preds, and then third Boys are the Golden Knights.
Nice.
The Golden Knights is a long shot, but it's just because last year the Capitals beat the Bolts, so we wanted the Knights to win over the Capitals.
Right.
And then obviously, I live in Nashville now, so secondary, I'm a Preds fan. And then obviously, last week we had the Boys against the Boys, which was the Lightning against the Preds. So there wasn't really a losing outcome for me, but I'm happy that the Bolts won.
Yeah, I grew up in Nashville. I live up in Louisville now, but yeah, it's funny. It's funny how quickly the hockey season can change if you're not paying attention every single day.
Yeah,
because the other day I was just like, what the hell's going on? How are we on this like crazy losing streak? Like, you know, we came out blazing, and the next thing you know, I turn around and we're losing.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely a hard sport for me to keep up on. I don't really get to watch as many games as I want to, but luckily I have my ESPN app that can give me the wrap on everything.
Right. What took you to Nashville?
Songwriting, honestly. You know, I've been writing the songs for pretty much every band I've been in since I was like 14.
Nice.
And again, just because I'm a Florida boy and a good old boy at heart, I just kind of fell into loving country music. So I've been writing country for about 5 years and wanted to really get my stab at it. So I moved to Nashville, and surprisingly enough, Nashville is also now a big rock market for songwriting, which is, you know, the business I'm kind of already in. So, yeah, I've been working hard and, you know, trying to write with as many people as possible. And, Yeah, and I just love it up here. I've wanted to live in Nashville since I was like 10. I went with my dad on a business trip, and I was like, all right, cool, yeah, I'm going to live here. So,
yeah, Nashville's a great town.
Yeah, I love it so much. I have somehow coaxed pretty much all of my best friends into living there. so basically, my entire friend group in Florida now lives there. So I got everything I need up there now, which is great.
Yeah, there's like, I think what's the stat right now? Like 81 people a day move to Nashville?
Last I heard, it was 150.
150, wow. Well, it always fluctuates. The last I heard, it was at 100, and then it went down to 81, and then I guess it might be back up, but... Yeah, it's crazy because I moved away like 10 years ago, but I still go back because my dad lives there. And, you know, you just like, I don't know how long ago you moved to Nashville, but like from the time that I was like playing shitty punk rock clubs to now, it's such a different town. And, you know, for the better, I believe, but it's still insane, like, you know, going downtown and all of those bars that, you know, used to be adult bookstores and stuff.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. So I live about 30 minutes south. I live in Spring Hill.
Okay, yeah.
And I really enjoy it because I have my space. So I've lived there for 2 years. First year I moved there, I lived in East Nashville, which was great, but it's all like really old houses from the 70s.
Right.
So like my basement would flood every time it rained, and like everything was just, I don't know. It was just not my vibe. So, but now I'm a 30 minute shot from the city if I have to go. So I'm close enough to still, you know, go to Nashville whenever I want. But yeah, it's crazy, man. It takes so much for me to like go out. Like,
right.
You want to go out tonight? Or you want to go downtown? I'm just like, I don't know, like bachelorette parties and, all that stuff. But, you know, I always tell my friends, they're like, should I move here? I was like, if you like country music and alcohol and just a lot of people, then sure.
You know, back in the day, I always heard stories about these country writing sessions, and, you know, like four or five dudes would get in a room and they would all just bounce ideas off of each other. But the way that they funded that was if something was written in that room, no matter who wrote it, like everyone got some sort of financial credit for it. And I always thought that was a cool idea. I don't know if that still goes on or if that you're experiencing that, but I always thought that was a fun idea.
Yeah, I think that's pretty standard in music now. They call it splits, essentially.
Yeah.
In most country writes, at least, it's normally three guys. You have a top line guy who's like the melody guy, and a lyric guy, and then you've got like a track guy who like builds the track and whatnot.
Right.
But I mean, that's the same way across the board. I mean, even on like Wage songs. So for some songs on Pressure, like, we did some co-writes with some people, and, you know, so there would be that kind of thing. And even down to like, I encourage you to do this. So do you use Spotify?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if now Spotify has this thing, when you click on a song that says song credits on it. And if you look up Cardi B, she has a song called this. It's insane. She has a song called, I think it's called Careful With Me. It's called Be Careful. There are 17 writers on there.
Wow.
So, you know, like three of those guys were probably just like one guy brought a chicken. One guy brought a bottle.
Right.
And the other guy was just there. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
There's no way that 17 people were like, I mean, maybe they were. Maybe I'm ignorant to the issue. But yeah, it's, you know, that's the way that they normally split things these days. And that happens. Some people do it differently. If it's just three people, no matter who did what, it's 33, 33, 33, or,
right.
You know, it's like, well, I did the riff and I did the vocals or whatever. So, yeah, but that's what most people are living for out there, is the split.
Yeah, it's definitely a different world out there, man. It's, you know, when you're starting your little band in the garage, you know, it's definitely different once you actually make it into the business itself. And, you know, you realize that, you know, we'll say something silly, like a band like Metallica, where you feel like as a kid, you're like, oh, this is a full-on band and they're splitting everything four ways. And then you realize that it's probably not anywhere near that.
Yeah. 100%, dude. It's just like, yeah, it's crazy.
You're taking out Dead. How do you get, have you guys toured with those guys before?
No, but we've met them a couple times. They've always been super sick, and I've always loved their band and like what they've done. So But I know they're great people, and we're actually sharing a bus together, so I'm excited that we'll get to hang out. But they're just a band that I've seen and loved, and this was able to work out, so I'm fired up, man.
Very cool, man. Well, good luck with everything, man. Enjoy Nashville, and go Preds and go Titans.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, man. We'll talk soon. Thanks. Huge thank you to Cody of Wage 4 for coming on the show. Huge thank you to you guys once again for listening each and every week. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe, share the show with a friend, and let them know that you're listening to the Talk To Me podcast. Make sure to hit up Good Company with Bowling. Let them know the Talk To Me podcast sent you. Go over to merchlive.com, buy yourself some last-minute Christmas items. To Me 10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. And so, until the 2019 Best Of episode, I am Joshua Toomey. This has been the Talk To Me podcast.